Hello, everyone. We are live. Don't mind me. I was just switching my microphone up. We are live. This is May 21st, 2026. Welcome to everyone jumping in the United States and around the world. So happy to have all of you with us tonight. After the two-day internet outage, which I will get into you, thanks to Xfinity and friends. And we'll get into that and what happened, because one of the agents said something very strange to me on the phone that I will not soon forget. And I'm going to talk about that real quick. But we're so glad all of you are jumping in and joining us tonight. We're happy to be back with you. And we're going to say hi to some people that are coming in the chat. I saw Spain just as we were going live. I saw Spain in the chat. So hello to our international audience coming in. Welcome, welcome. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. Very happy to have all of you coming in internationally. I see South Africa too. God bless you. And Aruba, hello to you and God bless you also. Let's see. Palm Beach Gardens, Illinois, Tampa, Florida. God bless all of you. Hello to you in West Virginia, Cumming, Georgia, Jacksonville, Texas. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you with us. Hello to all of our viewers in Texas. We have a lot of viewers in Texas, so we're very happy to have you on with us tonight. Hello to you in Atlanta. Shalom to you. Hello to you, our neighbor in Connecticut. God bless you. Blessings to you in Kapiti Coast, New Zealand. Hello to our friends across the world in New Zealand watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us. I see Lyons, Oregon, Kansas as well. Oh, let's see. North Carolina, as well as Massachusetts. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us. North Dakota, Cincinnati, Anchorage, Alaska. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us. Puerto Rico, hello to you in Puerto Rico. Very happy to have you with us tonight. Middletown, Ohio, God bless you. Brazil, hello to our viewers in Brazil tonight. Very happy to have you with us. God bless you. Let's see who else is coming on. Osaga Beach, Missouri, hello to you and God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Australia, hello to our friends across the globe in Australia. We're thrilled to have you on with us. So blessings to you. Kentucky, Maryland, Indiana, I see North Carolina Mountains. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us. I see, let's see, Louisiana, Spokane Valley, Washington. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Let's see, Rockford, Illinois, Michigan, hello to you in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. God bless all of you. Liverpool, UK, hello to our audience in England. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. I'll do a few more here. I see Oklahoma as well. God bless you. And then I see Ontario, Canada. Hello to all of our wonderful viewers in Canada. God bless you. Happy to have you on, as well as in Scotland. Hello to our European audience. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Oh, let's see. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And God bless you. Panama. Hello to our viewers in Panama. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us as well. And hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team that are on with us. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up in prayer as I always do. We have a lot to go through tonight. So there's a lot of moving parts to this tonight. Lots of information. There's a lot happening on multiple fronts that are all happening around the same time. And so we are going to prophetically break this down for you. There are some things tonight that are going to blow your mind that I'm going to show you biblically that connect to what is happening right now and unfolding before our very eyes. So let's open up in prayer. Oh, Briarcliff Manor, New York. That's about a half hour south of us. Hello to our neighbors in Briarcliff Manor, New York. I caught you out of the corner of my eye. Okay, going to open up in prayer. And then I'll talk to you very brief story about what happened. And the Lord had me preaching at Cable People yesterday. So that was wonderful as well. And I'll tell you all about that in a moment after we open up in prayer. And then we will get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We all fall incredibly short of your glory. Father, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. We come before your courts with praise and thanksgiving, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, help us to always seek your kingdom first. Father, teach us what pleases you today, Lord. Equip us to walk in your ways, Father God. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. We come boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, Father God, acknowledging your son Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was the Passover lamb. He willingly came to the earth to die for our sins. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was the word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we praise you, Father God, that when Christ said, it is finished at Calvary, he disarmed principalities and powers. He blotted out ordinances. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He miraculously rose again after defeating hell, death, and the grave, ascended back to be with the Father, took his rightful, victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory fall, the power of your presence, the weight and conviction of who you are, your holiness, your reverence, Father God. Let it fill this broadcast in this place, Father. People, we want them to tangibly feel your presence. Let them feel the presence of the Lord moving, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit go forth and be the counselor and minister to those who are watching tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, go before us. Be our front and rear guard, Father. Order our steps, Father God. Lord, order my words, Father, as we mightily go forth in you. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, for it is written, let us hear your voice, know your voice, and as strangers we will not follow, for it is written. Father, we just ask you, fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, above and below, north, south, east, and west, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father. Lord, we just, according to Ephesians chapter 6, ask you put the whole and complete armor of God on us this day, that the shield of faith goes up in front of us in the name of Jesus Christ to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the name of Jesus Christ, every arrow, dart, and weapon attempting to be fired at us by the enemy and his agents be reversed upon the senders now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we command be activated the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities to now work in our favor, to destroy the snares the enemy attempts to place in our way, to pierce, puncture, dismantle, destroy every plot, weapon, agent, device, snare, or campaign the enemy would attempt to deploy at us, to remove every physical and spiritual blockade and embargo the enemy would attempt to place in our way, and to make the way straight for us to walk in the victory, power, authority, and prosperity that the Lord God Almighty has ordained for us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violent slander, intimidation, threat, every hex, vex, spell, witchcraft, smote, enchantment, and any form of weaponized demonic activity. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command destroyed by the holy fire of God and cast out right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, back to the areas you have designated for such to be blocked from returning or having anything sent in its place. Father, we ask tonight, create in us a clean heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, O Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation, Father, and renew a steadfast spirit with us in us. Your word says, it is written, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, Father God. Help us to renew our minds in you and in the word, Father God, that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Father God. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Father. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you, Father God. We owe you every breath. We are the dust of the earth without your spirit breathed into us, Father God. Lord, we can do nothing without you, Father God. Outside of you, Father God, we can do nothing, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you that you are holy, you are righteous, you are just, that you sit on the highest throne, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that your eyes wander to and fro across the earth, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run to it and they are safe, Father. We praise you that under your wings we can take refuge, Lord, that your truth is our shield and buckler, Father. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We give you all the glory. Take all the glory for yourself, Father God. We're merely servants and vessels for your kingdom, Father God, and for your will, Lord, to be carried out within the earth. We thank you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we love you, Lord. We do. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. If you could share this broadcast, like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. It helps us. We're very grateful to all of you for doing that. And I'm going to tell you, there is a lot to talk about tonight. And we're gonna get into all of it in a minute. There is a lot unfolding this very hour. I believe we are in a critical three-day window again, which I will explain, given what is happening in this nation and in Iran. This weekend is Pentecost, and I believe this is another critical three-day window that we find ourselves in. Pentecost, I believe, is May 24th, 2026. So I'll tell you briefly what happened before we get into everything tonight. So our entire area had a very sudden and unexpected internet outage for two whole business days. It came back on at 11 o'clock last night, which was interesting because I got to talk to many cable people, and I preached to quite a few of them, actually, including Dave at Spectrum. So if Dave at Spectrum, you're watching, God bless you, Dave. We love talking to you. And we actually got to minister to Dave. We got to hear a little bit about his life. And so, you know, I just encourage you, be willing to be used by God in all circumstances, no matter what is going on in your life. But I will tell you, one of the Xfinity agents, and I kid you not, because you know they do it on a recorded line, said something, and I raised an eyebrow for a minute. So I'm going to say allegedly, but I was part of the phone call, so I heard it. I said, if I didn't know any better, I would think the government was part of this outage. And she said, oh, this was an unexpected outage, and the government was part of it. And I went, are you serious? The government is part of this? Oh, no, no, no. All of a sudden, she started walking it back, and I raised an eyebrow at that point, and I said, I don't know what the hey is going on, Lord, but there's something going on. But praise God, we got it back. We're back online, and we are off and running tonight. So it was interesting, though, for sure, to experience all of our team too. Like, we can't do anything here. We can't get online here. It was kind of funny to watch. But I'm telling you, this agent said this to me, and I think she slipped. I'm not sure what happened, but. And then I got to talk to Dave from Spectrum and talk about the purpose for his life and that God has a purpose for his life. And so that was something wonderful we got to do as well. So that's that. And we're going to get into now everything else we're going to talk about tonight, because there is a whole lot of shaking going on. I know that's a song, but it's true right now, people. It's true. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off by playing a Fox News clip. And then we're going to come back and talk. So we're going to actually, in the past 4 days, there is a lot that has transpired that may not look like it's connected, but it's all connected. In fact, we're going to go back 20 years too to show you why what's happening now is happening. We're going to get into that as well. But we're going to play the Fox News clip for you first, and then we're going to talk.
Trump will address the nation from the Oval Office on grocery prices. The president is taking action and will make an announcement on a key part of the cost of groceries, what he's about to attack on that right now. And he, of course, could comment on a host of issues, including what's happening right now with Iran. Is there a peace deal coming? Will we dig back in with war against that radical Islamic nation? We'll take you there live the moment the president begins speaking. And the ceasefire with that Islamic regime is now hanging by a thread. The president has put Iran on the clock. The White House says Iran has only days to show it's serious about a deal. And we've come to expect Iran is sending mixed signals. The world is watching to see whether serious diplomacy and deal-making will take hold or the strikes will begin again.
Do you see? She said something there for a moment. How he plans to attack that. I found that verbiage very interesting, given that we are in the 11th hour on the brink of seeing something shocking occur in Iran militarily. And so we truly are. I believe this 3-day window from now to Pentecost is another incredibly critical, fiery window that is like the same one that we dealt with on Passover, right? There was a 3-day window during Passover this year where they almost came to blows in the Strait of Hormuz, and there was that showdown during Passover. Well, I believe we are on the brink, people. This is the 11th hour, and this 3-day window right now leading to Pentecost is critical for what we're going to see unfold with Iran. So we're going to put up the news article for you. Trump gives Iran 2 or 3 days to agree to a longer peace deal. President Donald Trump has provided Iran with 2 or 3 days to make a counterproposal for a more permanent peace deal. Trump announced on Monday that he would delay a new attack on Iran, which had been planned for Tuesday. He was an hour away from attacking them when our Arab allies, if you would like to call them that, called him and asked him to wait a little longer. So it was after Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, the UAE, asked for more time to negotiate with Tehran. This is all unfolding in the window between Passover and Pentecost. All of this that we have watched unfold. Now, like I said, Pentecost is May 24, 2026. This is a crucial 3-day window that it's either going to be fire rain down or the beast is going to be subdued. So we'll see as we continue to talk about this and prophetically break this down. But I'm telling you, very intense next 3 days leading up to Pentecost with this unfolding before our very eyes. So I want to go to July 3rd, 2025 for a moment. Word of the Lord, I'm going to give you two. Given what's happening, especially with Iran's economy and with the blockade at the Strait of Hormuz. So July 3rd, 2025, Persia has been warned, says the Lord, that's Iran, to stop the shedding of innocent blood. Yet they have postured in defiance before me, says the Lord, and dug in their heels and stiffened their neck, says the Lord. And for such, the neck of Iran shall now be broken, says the Lord. And their oil, their commodities from within the earth shall now be pinched shut, says the Lord. For the leader has but a moment left before a great implosion from within. Well, that great implosion did begin to happen on February 28, 2026. And Iran's economy now is in complete collapse. It is pinched shut. This word was given July 3rd, 2025. Word of the Lord, May 8th, 2026. The window on Iran has thinned. The weariness has set in. However, that beast and its blasphemous must be muzzled and put down. For one more sharp maneuver shall be attempted. One more subversion. One more circumventing, says the Lord, before they are subdued for a time before the earth. For in the years ahead, that chained beast shall be freed by a fool who believes he can work with such, but will feel the bite of vengeance rear up in the times of Ezekiel that are still yet to come, says the Lord. So this was May 8th, 2026, what was spoken about what's about to happen with Iran. So we will watch that unfold probably within the next 3 days. So I want to put this up for you too, this X post here. And you're going to get why I'm going here in a minute. But the Senate Republicans, their official, I guess, X account, they put this up. The timing of this is what is incredible. The Obama and Biden administrations chose to appease Iran, handing over billions in sanctions relief while allowing their nuclear infrastructure to advance. Yeah, they gave them the money for it. President Trump has decimated their military and is using maximum economic pressure. Peace requires strength. Now, this is very interesting, the timing of them putting this out. Let me tell you why. Now we're going to start to go back because I'm going to show you why. What's happening with Iran now is happening and how far back this goes and why this is a reversal of that. So we're going to go back to 2023 for this article. In fact, 9/11, 2023 to be exact. Biden administration strikes deal with Iran to swap prisoners and release $6 billion, with a B, in frozen funds. The Biden administration has struck a deal with Iran to swap prisoners and release $6 billion in frozen Iranian funds. Per the deal, Iran will release 5 American citizens detained in Iran, and the U.S. will release 5 Iranian citizens being held in the U.S. This was 9/11. 2023, this deal was struck, right? Now, that deal was struck was an unholy, corrupt, wicked deal that was meant to equip Iran with the funds it needed to not only enrich uranium, but to throttle the Middle East. Now, the moment, not only throttle the Middle East, but destroy Israel on top of it. The moment that deal was made, I'm telling you this right now, the moment that deal was made, the countdown on the life of the Ayatollah and his generals and the leadership of Iran began. The countdown on their removal began. This is how I know this, because this deal was made 9/11, 2023. 3 years later, very interesting, the day the Ayatollah was killed was February 28th on our calendar, but it was the 11th day of the 9th month on the Islamic calendar, or 9/11. He's killed on the day on the Islamic calendar that is 9/11, 3 years after on 9/11, there is an unholy, wicked agreement that is made that releases these $6 billion in funds to Iran, which I believe they tried to stop, but I don't know how much success they had with that. And they swapped 5 prisoners each. So that began the countdown. And you see these judgments that are happening within the earth is tied to deals Biden made, his administration corruptly made, that now in this time, the cup of iniquity has become full and now must be poured out. And it ties back. So we have that part of the reversal. We have that part of the countdown clock to their lives being lost from the day that deal was made. And then on top of it, it ties back to the massive trajectory change that happened in this nation on 9/11/2001. Okay, and I'm going to explain this. Now think about this. Right before this happens and the Ayatollah is taken out, back in November of 2025, Mamdani is elected to be the mayor of New York City. That is ground zero for 9/11. Then the Ayatollah is taken out in the year 2026 on the 11th day of the 9th month on the Islamic calendar, in the year that Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, begins on 9/11 in 2026. What we are watching happen, and I know it doesn't necessarily feel like it, but when 9/11/2001 occurred with the World Trade Center, something in this nation went sideways. It ran off the tracks. It created a vacuum for this nation to be plunged headlong into judgment. we keep seeing this theme, and this is why. Because going back to 9/11 in 2001 and the Bush era has to be rectified in this nation. What went sideways, what created a vacuum, what opened doors that were not supposed to be opened, now has to be rectified in this nation. Because after this burning bush moment of 9/11, and it was a burning bush moment, the Ishmaelite arose, Barack Obama. Now, rededicating the nation back to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ is part of the reversal. That's part of it. What happened this past weekend, praise God, I was there. I got to witness it. I have to tell you that many of the speakers openly proclaimed Jesus Christ before everybody, openly proclaimed it, which was wonderful to see. But if you think about it, as Iran is collapsing, America is renewing. So I want you to think about that picture for a minute. As Iran is collapsing, who made the unholy agreement with the Biden administration, America is renewing the covenant. It's renewing the covenant with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. But it's a renewal as well that goes back to the corruptness of what occurred on 9/11-2001 in the Bush era. And there was a sharp maneuver in the spirit when that happened that sent this country on a trajectory of destruction. And instead of returning back onto the Lord and renewing the covenant then, like they were supposed to, I'm going to tell you something right now. That burning bush moment was supposed to create a Moses moment in the nation where the people came back and renewed the covenant with Almighty God back then. And I'm saying this under the unction of the Holy Spirit I perceive right now. This was supposed to happen after 9/11. And it didn't. And the country got sent on a trajectory of destruction. Instead of returning back, Obama was elected as the fruit of the defiance of this nation, and that continued. And the falling away from the church from its God-given role to occupy and raise a standard in this nation and renew the covenant back to the Lord, that suddenly was corrupted. And suddenly now the church was supporting Saul. Now suddenly, instead of the covenant being renewed, the church now is rejecting the Lord. The country, the nation is actually rejecting the Lord after that. And now they're supporting Saul. And in 1 Samuel 8:7, I'm going to show you. The Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. Excuse me. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Now that's 1 Samuel 8:7. 8 plus 7 is 15. Interestingly enough, Obama's last year in office was 2015. And I'm going to show you something fascinating about this. So we're going to put up the article for you. This goes back to 2012. And we're going to work our way up here. Obama vows, we remember, we rebuild at World Trade Center. Now, he wrote on a beam that got put, I believe, into the Freedom Tower. He inscribed on it, that would be part of the framework, I guess, for the Freedom Tower. He wrote, we remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger. That was a message of defiance. That was not a message of submission. And he signed it. And that beam went into the Freedom Tower. So I'm going to show you something here. Because there was a hidden message in Obama's defiance when he did this. There was a hidden message. So we're going to show it to you right now. So he said, we remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger, Barack Obama. That's what's on the beam. Do you know what was hidden within that messaging on that beam of the Freedom Tower? Steal election in America. In 2015, he writes this on a beam. It's put into the framework of the rebuilding of what was the World Trade Center. And in that, it said, you can spell steal election in America. And it went into the Freedom Tower, or that area where the Freedom Tower would be. So steal election, steal freedom. Think about that, the imagery of that. This is 2015, remember, what were they planning? Why is he writing this? Because they were planning to have Hillary Clinton steal the election. They were planning to have her come in and win in 2016. Now, the date that this occurred, oh, can we put that back up so I could see for a minute, please? Sorry. Okay, June 15th, 2012. I just wanted to check my date, make sure it was good. So June 15th, 2012, this occurs. Now, it's interesting because June, first of all, is dubbed Pride Month, right? First of all. And secondly, I'm looking at this for a minute here so I could see. I'm trying to figure out something here. I'm gonna circle back to that. I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna circle back to that. But there's something with the date of this that I'm examining more, with the date of when he did this. But it was in the 6 month, which they call Pride Month, is when he put that in the beam. And it was a message of defiance, and hidden within that was steal election in America. Now, to go even further with this, I'm going to take you to what the essence of what he was saying, where it is in the Bible, because this was pulled from something that Tom Daschle said on the Senate floor when 9/11 happened. So, if we go to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 10 through 11, I'm going to read it to you. The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with huge stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord will raise against Ephraim adversaries from Rezin and spur their enemies on. That's Isaiah 9, 10 through 11. Now, Tom Daschle says this from the Senate floor. He quotes this scripture from the Senate floor after 9/11 happens. Now, this is a message of defiance. What did Barack Obama say? We remember, we rebuild. We come back stronger. What does this say? The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with huge stone. It was a message of defiance to the Lord. They had strayed. They had sinned. Their enemies came in and attacked them. And instead of them humbling themselves before God, they said, oh yeah, God, we're going to build back better. We think that slogan was some catchy new campaign slogan from the Biden era. It wasn't. It comes from the defiance of this scripture. And the essence of what Barack Obama wrote on that beam came from what Tom Daschle defiantly read on the Senate floor and pronounced judgment over America instead of submission. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 10 through 11, 9-11 is within those numbers. There's a mystery that is unfolding. There is something hidden within this, that some of it has already happened, some of it will happen, and let me show you. So, if you take Isaiah chapter 9, verses 10 through 11, right? The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with huge stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord raises against Ephraim adversaries from Rezin and spurs them on. Hidden within these scripture verses, this is what you can spell of all verses in the Bible. The one Tom Daschle reads on the Senate floor after 9/11, the one that is the essence of what Barack Obama wrote on that beam, hidden within this scripture, you can spell attack on World Trade Center, Bush, Barack Obama, Biden, Donald Trump, Zoram Mamdani, attack New York City falls, Freedom Tower falls. From Isaiah 9, 10 through 11, hidden within these scriptures, you can spell all of this. And this is the scripture that was read on the Senate floor of all scriptures after 9/11 happened. That is not coincidence. That is not left to chance. That is not left to randomness. It is because the Word of God is living, active, and current for every generation and was written by a divine being outside of space and time that could weave into Scripture specific ones what we have watched unfold throughout history and has yet to unfold. Some of that has already unfolded. Some of it has yet to unfold. This is why Tom Daschle and Barack Obama were compelled by, I believe, the kingdom of darkness to read those scriptures and to make it the essence of what is on the beam in the Freedom Tower, because what is on that beam is defiance. That is a defiance, a posture on that beam that now sits in the Freedom Tower. Now, speaking of New York City, something happened yesterday, May 20th, 2026, that I believe we need to take note of, because I believe it prophetically is a warning, and I think we need to take note of it. So we're going to put up the article for you. MTA-affiliated vehicle erupts in flames near New York City's Charging Bull statue. A vehicle erupted in flames and then exploded on Tuesday evening near the iconic Charging Bull statue in Lower Manhattan. New York City police officers and firefighters arrived at the intersection of Broadway and Stone Street at approximately 5:42 p.m. to address the burning vehicle. You know what's interesting about that? 5 plus 42 is 47, which is the presidency we're in. A flame erupts near a statue of the bull. Okay, so we have a Charging Bull here. We have an MTA-affiliated vehicle. It goes into flames right near this Charging Bull statue. So a flame erupts near a statue of a Charging Bull 3 days after our nation's rededication. Okay, the statue is called the Charging Bull. Baal is the bull. Okay, if we're rededicating, right, which we did, we renewed the covenant back to the Lord. What are we doing as a nation? We're forsaking Baal. We're making a statement that we're returning onto the Lord and we're forsaking the Baals. 3 days after this, an enormous fire erupts out of this MTA vehicle next to this statue called the Charging Bull in New York City. So you have fire and charging bulls in this time to challenge the rededication. So I believe that was a prophetic warning of the challenge that's going to arise in this nation. Also, where it happened, New York City, is where April 1789, George Washington made that covenant initially between the United States of America and Almighty God. It was out of New York City. And then 3 days after the covenant is renewed, fire erupts near the statue of the Charging Bull, and Baal is the bull. I'm telling you, a charging bull, not just a bull, a charging bull. Charging bulls are destructive. They are angry. They are can cause catastrophic injury. They can cause a lot of destruction. Fire erupted near the Charging Bull. I'm telling you right now, prophetically, that is a warning. The timing of this happening is not an accident, because if America is renewing a covenant and forsaking the Baals and making that statement publicly, well, guess what's going to happen now? If Baal is the bull, Baal is going to attempt to charge, if you think about it that way. Now, if we go to January 11th, 2023, this was a very interesting word of the Lord. It's over 3 years old. And January 11th, 2023, this is what it says. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, the MTA. Now, what car was it that erupted in flames? It was an MTA affiliated vehicle. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, the MTA, the railroad system, watch for scandal that has percolated under the surface to completely erupt. What happened? fire erupted from that MTA vehicle. For this is the time of the vinegar for the corrupt, the sour wine, says the Lord. Vinegar cleanses and its taste is bitter. And so you shall see the time of the vinegar and not of the honey within the transportation systems. It shall reach through all three branches of your government, for one more so than the other. Two is highly diseased and on the verge of total collapse. You shall hear this term associated with this branch on the verge of collapse, says the Lord, this day. Now, May 8th, 2026, word of the Lord given. You shall see an ox plow its final field before you shall see a bull arise in that nation. Now, this is interesting. I'm giving this to you now because I'm telling you what we saw was prophetic imagery, what happened with this MTA vehicle and the bull. So you shall see an ox plow its final field before you shall see a bull arise in that nation. And then it says after that, Israel is about to change hands, says the Lord, as a changing of the guard in the Middle East shall be triggered when the trumpet is blown, says the Lord. That's Rosh Hashanah. When the trumpet is blown, that is around, it could be, I'm saying it could be, around the time of Rosh Hashanah is the window that we're being given. Now, that imagery that happened, like I said, happened in New York City, which is ground zero for 9/11. It is also ground zero for where the covenant between Almighty God and this nation was initially made. Now, to make this even more interesting, let me show you what news broke today, because there's been a very interesting sequence of events since we renewed the covenant back to Almighty God with this nation. Today, this breaks. 9/11 steel beam arrives at Florida school, where Bush learned America was under attack. Andy Card, who informed Bush of the attacks, and former teacher Sandra K. Daniels attended Tuesday's ceremony. Okay, so this just broke, this news. It happened on Tuesday. A steel beam recovered from the World Trade Center arrived Tuesday at the Florida Elementary School, where President George Bush learned the United States was under attack on September 11, 2001. Now, think about this. Of all times, in the middle of everything else happening, that is 9/11, this is when this beam from 9/11 arrives in Florida. So Florida, 9/11. I'm telling you, this is going to be a high alert season for Ron DeSantis in Florida. I'm telling you prophetically, that arriving in this time, in this window, in Florida, that is a 9/11 warning right now to Florida and Ron DeSantis that this is high alert for them to be sober-minded and vigilant because of an attack that is coming. It is no coincidence this has arrived now in the midst of everything else that is unfolding, and it arrived after the covenant is renewed. So about 2 to 3 days after the renewal happens, that is when this steel beam now happens to arrive and now make national news. And here we go, 9/11 is back in the media. So do I think that's a coincidence? No, I do not. Do I believe that in the year that Rosh Hashanah begins on 9/11, in the year that the Ayatollah is killed on the 11th day of the 9th month of the Islamic calendar, in the year that President Trump's State of the Union begins 9/11 Eastern Standard Time, do I think this is a coincidence? No, I do not. I believe there is a prophetic pattern here with this that we have to pay attention to that may very well crescendo around the Feast of Trumpets, which begins September 11th this year, 9/11. Now, I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. So 4:8, 48, that happens to be our next presidency. I want to read this to you because this has to do with what happened when Barack Obama was in office, and what's a warning for what's coming with the 2028 election. So 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 8 says, Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you have grown old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king to judge us like all the other nations. We want to be like all the other pagan nations. We don't want to have the covenant with just God and be ruled by him. Give us a king. Verse 6, but their demand displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge and rule over us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, which was a burning bush moment that triggered all of that, even to this day, in that they have abandoned me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now, this is a warning for the next election, because 48 is going to try to parallel 44. 44 was the rise of Barack Obama, the Ishmaelite candidate Barack Obama. 48 is going to try to mirror 44. It's going to try to run parallel to it, I believe. I believe they're going to attempt to recycle 2008 and what happened in 2028. In 2008, it was an election year. It was a Shemitah year that happens every 7 years on the Jewish calendar. They had the global banking crisis and the rise of the Ishmaelite candidate Barack Obama. I believe they're going to try to run parallel to each other. And this is why the church has to get ahead of it now, pray and intercede, so this plan and this cycle that they're going to attempt to align purposely to open doors and gates is disrupted. Now, 1 Samuel 15:28. So Samuel said to him, the Lord, now, let me preface this before I read this. Saul becomes king. Saul becomes highly rebellious. 1 Samuel 15:28, which is interesting because 2028 is our next election. So Samuel said to him, Saul, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Today, the kingdom has been torn away from you. Now, what's interesting about this is 2015 was Barack Obama's last year as president. And 2028 is our next presidency. The Lord has torn the kingdom from you today, Saul, and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. I'm telling you that they are going to try to recycle this. And they're going to try to recycle this as well through Barack Obama. This is why it is imperative for President Trump to deal with what that man did. Because they want to try to use him in a window in order to try to run 2028 parallel to 2008 when Barack Obama initially rose. Now, I want to go to, as well, 1 Samuel 17 as well, which was Goliath's challenge. So the rededication, May 17th, 2026, the day America is rededicated back to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. It had to happen. It needed to happen. Like I said, a very serious standard has been raised now. A very serious covenant has been renewed. And the leadership of this nation and the president and the vice president and the cabinet and Congress and the branches are going to be held to the standard now of the covenant that has been renewed. They will be held to it. They will be measured by it. They will be judged by it. And the church as well. The church can't come into agreement with renewing a covenant like this and then become completely complacent and fall away. Because we will be liable and culpable for that. So 1 Samuel 17 is Goliath's challenge. That's when Goliath came out and wanted to fight. And he wanted an individual to fight from the army of Israel. And Saul and his men didn't want to go out and fight Goliath. The night of prayer that we did last week, I focused on 1 Samuel 17. I was led to focus on that chapter. So after the night of prayer and warning about when the nation is rededicated, you're going to see a challenger arise. You're going to see maybe potentially imagery of a Goliath arise. You're going to see the enemy attempt to stand up and challenge the nation and test the renewed covenant. Something very interesting happened. Something appeared in a Fox News article that I found to be fascinating. So we're going to put that up for you now. Trump-backed candidate Ed Gallrain calls Kentucky win a David versus Goliath victory after defeating Thomas Massie. Oh, Doubting Thomas. Trump-backed Republican Ed Gallrain declared victory Tuesday after defeating longtime Representative Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky, in a stunning GOP primary outcome. This was a reversal. This is that imagery of David and Goliath. And he said it was a David versus Goliath. I was the underdog, Gallrain told Sean Hannity after the race was called. So after the night of prayer, this happens. And Fox News carries this headline. And I will say this, now that the nation has been rededicated back to the Lord, I believe the enemy is attempting to bring in a charging bull, a Goliath challenger that will separate the Sauls from the Davids in the administration and in Congress. So I believe what's happening now is a plumb line is now being dropped that the covenant has been renewed in the name of Jesus Christ. And this plumb line and measuring rod is now being dropped and it will separate the Sauls from the Davids within the administration and within Congress. It will separate the righteous from the ruthless. It will separate the called from the cons. This is what's happening, I believe. Once the covenant was renewed and ratified, we are now watching a plumb line begin to be dropped now in the nation and a measuring rod based on that covenant. And it will go through the administration and the three branches of government. It will go through Congress. It will go through the governors, to the mayors, to the councilmen, to the school boards. And we are going to watch now this plumb line dropped in this hour that now the covenant has been renewed. It's very serious to renew a covenant. You are held to the standard of it. All of them. President Trump, the vice president, the office of faith, the cabinet, all of them, Congress, governors, leaders, you are held to it. And praise God, it was renewed, but that's a standard that's been raised. And that's a plumb line now that's being dropped. And we are watching that separation begin. In this time, you're going to see this is the time of the words may be right, but the breath is wrong. Kim Clement used to say that all the time. He used to say the words may be right, but the breath is wrong. That's the time of separation as well. The words may be right, but the breath is wrong. The source from which it's coming is contaminated and it stinks. Now, something else in the middle of this David versus Goliath headline, in the middle of the fire erupting by a charging bull in New York City, in the middle of the 9/11 beam being delivered to Florida of all times. I'm telling you, Ron DeSantis, you better be sober-minded and vigilant right now in the midst of this. That is a warning. You better, your state needs prayer. His state needs prayer right now. I'm just telling you, we need to pray and intercede for the state of Florida. Now, in the middle of all that happening, something else happens. This is why I'm saying why 9/11 beam is coming to Florida and why a charging bull is having fire erupt and all of this. This happens. The day after the covenant, by the way, is renewed in this nation, we're going to show you what happened. What we know about suspects in fatal San Diego mosque shooting. Police say the two suspected shooters at the Islamic Center of San Diego were teenagers, male, and are believed dead from self-inflicted wounds, which is very, very sad. Chief Scott Wall said at a news conference that the teen's mom called police. I want you to listen to the time. At 9:42 a.m. Pacific time. To report a runaway. But pretty quick, Wall said that both the mother and police realized something more dangerous could be brewing. As police tried to zero in on the teens, they then got a call at 11:43 a.m. Pacific time that there was an active shooting at the Islamic Center of San Diego. Police believe the teens opened fire at the mosque and three individuals, unfortunately, and a security guard. Were victims of that before these teens fled the scene. Now, first call comes in at 9:42. The second call comes in at 11:43. There's your 9/11. There is your 9/11 in the midst of this. So as the beams being delivered in Florida, as what's erupting in New York City, which is ground zero for 9/11, is erupting. On the other side of the nation, the bookend of New York, which is California, you have this incident unfolding the day after the covenant is renewed in this nation. First call came in at 9:42 a.m. The second call came in at 11:43. There is your 9/11. In the middle of this that has been following this thread that has been happening since about the beginning of 2025, because we're in a two-year window that equals 9/11. 2025 to 2027, 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9, 2 plus 2 plus 7 is 11, 9/11. And who was commenting on this after it happened was CAIR in San Diego, C-A-I-R. The chapter there in San Diego was the one who was the commenter, I guess, within this article. Now I'm going to show you something else with this. We're going to put up the second article. This is the day after the covenant's renewed. The day after, and then the day after this is when the beam shows up, the 9/11 beam in Florida. And the day before that is when the in New York City, the MTA car erupts in flames near the charging bull. Okay, alleged shooters in Islamic Center of San Diego attack identified, I want you to listen to the names, as Cain Clark, C-A-I-N, as in Cain and Abel. Okay, Cain Clark and Caleb Velasquez. Now, this is what it says. The suspects who allegedly killed three men at the Islamic Center of San Diego have been identified as 17-year-old Cain Clark and 18-year-old Caleb Velasquez, the New York Post reported, citing a law enforcement source. Now, I want to read to you the word of the Lord from January 16th, 2025, and I want you to listen because it says California and Cain in it. Now, January 16th, 2025, word of the Lord. California is in their 40th governor, and the time has come for such. Because California, just as in Genesis, is filled with Hamas, C-H-A-M-A-S. It is filled with violence, says the Lord. It has gone the way of Cain, C-A-I-N, the way of Sodom. And now a great purge has begun in the nation as desperation has mounted with those who are wicked and corrupt. Desperation has mounted to create capital emergencies. To create capital chaos, to create capital destruction. This word, January 16th, 2025, had California filled with violence. It has gone the way of Cain, C-A-I-N. What happened here? What happened here at this mosque happened in California, and one of the main perpetrators, his first name is Cain. See, what's happening is because the governor is the 40th governor, California is coming under judgment. Part of what's going on here, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but I'm saying part of what's going on here is the governor has opened gates as well as the treaties he has made with other nations has opened gates. And this is why the Lord said back January 16, 2025, this was before the inauguration, it has gone the way of Cain. California has gone the way of Cain. And now in California, Cain is the one that has done this terrible thing. Cain is the one who went and shed the blood of Abel. And interestingly enough, this is the name of one of these individuals who went and did this. And it's because it is in their 40th governor. And the grace period has thinned on the leadership of California. And this is why we're beginning to watch these things unfold. In this time, the day after the rededication of this nation. It also happened 5 months before the midterm elections. And it happened in the year the Ayatollah falls in Iran, the year of the midterms, and Rosh Hashanah beginning on 9/11, the year that Mamdani becomes mayor in New York City, is when we watch of all times this incident happen in California, which is the bookend to New York. It's a similar political scape, similar spiritual atmosphere. It's not a coincidence this happens the day after the nation's rededicated. This is not a coincidence. This is not random. This is not chance. Something is percolating here. And I had warned that once the covenant was reestablished, the enemy was going to attempt to test it. He was going to attempt to stand up against the nation and leadership. And the way he's going to do it is by activating charging bulls, wild men, and individuals, and events of that nature. In fact, Genesis 16:12 says, Ishmael will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against every man continually fighting and every man's hand against him. And he will dwell in defiance of all his brothers. Now, 2 months prior to this happening, something happened in New York that should have tipped us off that it was coming in California, that it was coming in the rest of the nation. What happens in New York? We're going to put up the article for you. So 2 months prior to this, 2 months prior to the rededication of the nation as well, this happens. Two suspects charged with aiding ISIS in attempted explosives attack in New York City. New York Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch said on Monday that an attempted bomb attack during a protest on Saturday outside Mayor Zohran Mamdani's official residence is being investigated by the NYPD and the FBI as an act of ISIS-inspired terrorism. At a press conference, Tisch identified the suspects, who are both in custody, as Amir Balat, who is 18, and Ibrahim Kayumi, 19, both from Pennsylvania. Now, Pennsylvania is where they attempted to kill President Trump before the election. And now these two individuals who came to New York City, which is ground zero for 9/11, came from Pennsylvania. This occurred 7 days after Purim occurred, which was marked by a blood moon this past year. Now, I want to show you the pattern between these two. You have New York, California, similar spiritual atmospheres, similar governors, similar political atmospheres. Both attackers in both cases were teenagers. Look at the pattern. Just look at who the enemy is trying to disciple and raise up to do his bidding. Both were teenagers. One was near Mamdani's mansion, called Gracie Mansion. Of all things, it's called Gracie Mansion. I will tell you this, the window of grace for New York City has thinned dramatically right now. The window of grace has thinned because there is a false covenant that attempted to be forged January 1st, 2026, when Mamdani was sworn in. Mamdani, he's Muslim. The San Diego, where the attack happened, was a mosque. Both are democratic states that are in serious trouble right now, approaching the midterms. And this is where these two attacks happen. Now, 2 months later, comes the, after this attack in New York City, 2 months later, comes the attack in California, the day after the nation is rededicated. This all unfolds 5.5 months before the midterm elections. This all unfolds right before President Trump is set to attack Iran. He was 1 hour away from militarily launching an onslaught. So right before President Trump is set to attack Iran, And after the nation is rededicated, this event just happens to fall smack in the middle of it. I'm telling you, this is not coincidence that these things are happening the way they're happening and in the order they are happening. We are watching the percolations happen of September 11, 1683, the Battle of Vienna, for the golden apple, right? President Trump said America has entered its golden age. New York City, where Ramdani is mayor, is called the Big Apple. There's your golden apple imagery in this time. But we are watching percolations of September 11, 1683, the Battle of Vienna. What we are witnessing is prophetically warning about this and aligning with this. And I believe events with the governor of California and its leadership and events with the governor of New York and leadership are going to run in tandem. California and New York are starting to have parallel events. I do believe that events with their leadership and some very, very sobering revelations and events to come forth with leaders of California and New York are going to run in tandem. They are going to happen one after the other. And I want to show you something, actually, in the book of Galatians. I'm going to show you something fascinating here, to show you something Paul said and the time we're in. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, I am astonished and extremely irritated that you are so quickly shifting your allegiance and deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different, even contrary gospel, which is really not another gospel, but there are some who are disturbing and confusing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we originally preached to you, let him be condemned to destruction. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from that which you received, let him be condemned to destruction. Am I now trying to win the favor and approval of men or of God? Or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to be popular with men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, this was Paul's warning of what would come and arise with this religion. And I'm going to show you how. This is Paul's warning prophetically of what was going to arise with Islam. In these scriptures, he says, even if an angel comes and should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached, let him be condemned to destruction. In the Quran, it is claimed an angel appeared to Muhammad and gave him these writings. Even if an angel comes and preaches to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached, let him be condemned to destruction. It is written. Now, this is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Let me show you how the enemy attempts to counterfeit and align the word to try to give validity to what is deceit. Listen to this. This is Galatians 1, 6 through 10, 6:10. According to the Islamic scholar Safi al-Rahman al-Mukbarakupuri, I guess this is his name, the exact date of this event when Muhammad supposedly received this was a Monday on the 21st of Ramadan, just before sunrise, which would have been the 10th of August in the year 610. 610. What is the warning in Galatians? It's Galatians 1, 6 through 10, 610. What is the year it's claimed that these revelations were received? 610. That is not a mistake that Paul warned of this in the way he did within the scriptures that he did. And then it is proclaimed that these writings were given to Muhammad in the year 610. That is not an accident. That's not an accident. That's deliberate. And this is how we can recognize the warnings as believers, but this is also how the enemy tries to align and counterfeit things in order to try sometimes to manipulate them with scripture. And I wanted to show you that because that is incredible that that's where Paul wrote that. And then this is the year that those writings happened to come into existence. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. We're going to go to this for a moment here. And hopefully we could get through this, part of this at least, tonight. So, 2 Chronicles 18, verses 1 through 3. We're going to go to Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Now, Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor and was allied by marriage with Ahab. It's said he was married to Athaliah. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab slaughtered many sheep and oxen for him and the people who were with him and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. This is what President Trump has to be careful of in this time. Ahab's inducing him into battles he has no business fighting, and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead?" He answered, "I am as you are, and my people as your people." That was a foolish answer on Jehoshaphat's part. "We will be with you in battle." Now, induced, I believe in Hebrew, is wesitehu. Okay, wesitehu. Now, the definition of induce is to bring about by artificial means, such as to induce labor. So the origin of this is by artificially manipulated means. It is not of God what Ahab is attempting to draw Jehoshaphat into. He's inducing him by artificial means into battle using 400 false prophets. 2 Chronicles 18, 4 through 7, which is interesting because we're in the 47th presidency. So these scriptures are pertinent to what's unfolding in this time. Further, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel assembled the prophets, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for God will hand it over to the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord still here whom we may inquire of?" He was calling them all phonies in that moment. Every last one of them, all 400 of them. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies anything good for me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so. Perhaps this time it will be different." I don't like him because he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. I don't like him because he doesn't prophesy good concerning my blasphemous behavior. That is what Ahab was saying. He doesn't say what I want him to say because he's not bought and paid for. He doesn't just tickle the ears. He speaks what the Lord wants him to say. So the battle lines are being drawn. 400 prophets of Baal to one prophet of the Lord that Jehoshaphat at least had the wherewithal to ask for. He at least had the wherewithal to stop and go, guys, is there still not a prophet of the Lord around here that we can inquire of? Because they were all prophets of Baal going, oh, go, God's going to give you the victory. They're not even serving God. This is a threshing floor moment. They are at the threshing floor when this takes place. They are sitting at the threshing floor, and we'll show you that in a minute. So the battle lines are being drawn. This is a threshing floor moment right now in our nation. 2 Chronicles 18, verses 9 through 11, 9-1-1. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes. They were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah had made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans, the Syrians, until they are destroyed." Horns, like from a bull. Verse 11, all the prophets prophesied this, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and succeed. The Lord will hand it over to the king." That was, and I'm going to say it plainly, a load of crap. That's what that was. That was not coming from the Lord. That was coming from the kingdom of darkness. That was coming from a lying spirit. So you have a righteous king and a wicked king, both at the threshing floor. The threshing floor is an image of judgment and being judged in the word of God. It's where the wheat is beaten and separated, and the good is separated from what needs to be disposed of. So you've got both kings at the threshing floor on a floor of judgment. One is righteous, and he foolishly now has agreed to go into battle with a king that God has determined disaster against. Notice these verses are 9-1-1. This is something that the administration in this time has to be careful of, that the Ahabs do not try to bring them to the threshing floor, to bring them into battles that God did not call them to fight. God did not call Jehoshaphat to go into battle with Ahab because God had already judged Ahab, which Micaiah said to him, "I saw the Lord on his throne in all his splendor and all the hosts and army of heaven sitting around him, and God was holding court to see how he was going to kill you, Ahab." This is what he basically tells Ahab, that the Lord had determined disaster against him. Now, let me ask you real fast. What was the positive word? What was the negative word? People would think, oh, the negative word is Micaiah telling him, well, the Lord is going to kill you and disaster has been determined against you. And the positive word may seem like, oh, go, for the Lord has given you the victory. Flip that around. The one that said, go, for the Lord has given you the victory, was the negative word because it was going to get Ahab killed. Even though it sounded positive, and it sounded like what Ahab wanted to hear, and it sounded good, it was the certificate of destruction and Ahab's removal. And the word that Micaiah gave, saying the Lord is looking for a way to kill you, was the positive word, because had Ahab heeded the word of the Lord and repented in that moment, God would have spared his life. So we have to stop thinking that the words that sound positive in the prophetic are the good words, and the words that are harsh and sound more negative are the bad words. Prophecy is not judged that way. And we have to stop doing that, because sometimes the word that sounds negative actually is the word that's going to save your life, that's going to keep you from harm, that's going to change the trajectory of a road you're on that you shouldn't be on. Not, oh, go, for the Lord's going to give you the victory. That was a lie. Disaster had been determined. Sounded good. It was nothing but deceit. The other one sounded terrible, but it was the warning for Ahab to repent. People want their ears tickled in the prophetic. That is not what the prophetic is for. It's not to tickle people's ears. It's not to speak what I want to speak. It's not to say necessarily how I feel. It's to speak what the Lord wants spoken, no matter how I feel. It don't matter how I feel. I'm out of it. Didn't matter how Micaiah felt about Ahab. He was out of it. And we're watching a plumb line be dropped. This is the time of the Micaiah's arising and the prophets of Baal being separated. We are watching the plumb line drop. We are watching it. The second that covenant got renewed, I'm telling you, the plumb line began to drop. This is the time of the threshing floor for nations and leaders of nations and governors and Congress. They're at the threshing floor. And if they partner with Ahab, it's going to get them almost killed. Jehoshaphat almost got killed because he went into battle with Ahab. God spared him out of mercy because he was a righteous king that made a very foolish decision and went into a battle that the Lord did not ordain, nor was the Lord with them. It was the battle that was going to kill Ahab. We are watching that plumb line drop in this time of the Micaiahs who will speak the hard truths amidst when everybody else wants to have their ears tickled and wants to hear something great. But you know what? The hard truths are what bring course corrections to spare people from destruction. This is not the time of the fluff. This is the time of the truths that are coming from the mouths of Micaiahs. This is what time it is for nations right now and leaders of nations. And you know who else is at the threshing floor? Cuba. Cuba right now is at the threshing floor. We're going to put the article up. Thank you. U.S. indicts Cuba's Raul Castro on murder and conspiracy charges from downing of planes in 1996. Federal prosecutors in Florida on Wednesday unsealed an indictment charging former Cuban leader Raul Castro and five others in connection with the Cuban military's fatal downing of two planes 30 years ago, with officials unveiling the charges at a press conference in Miami. The federal criminal charges against the 94-year-old Castro, brother of the late Fidel Castro, and widely seen as one of Cuba's most powerful figures, mark an escalation in the Trump administration's pressure campaign against the Cuban government. Iran's at the threshing floor. Cuba's at the threshing floor. Turkey's going to be at the threshing floor. Venezuela at the threshing floor. Word of the Lord, May 6, 2022. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, what has gone back to Carter in your nation, I, the Lord, am pulling from the files kept as not all were destroyed. And the time has come to reveal the contents of the boxes that were kept and what has been hidden about his involvement and what is happening now. For deals were made long ago. Those deals were made in strict pact, capital. And now I, the Lord, your God, shall reveal what was done in secret with the East countries, what was done in secret with Russia, what was done in secret with Cuba. Says the Lord of hosts, in this hour this shall be revealed. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, a fumigation has begun. The rats, the unclean, are being fumigated from their nests, abandoning what they have been sitting on for a long time. March 26, 2026. Cuba is set to throw off shackles that go back past Castro, says the Lord. These are old chains who had much to gain. A missile crisis of a new kind shall arise, says the Lord. Watch the unusual maneuver out of Cuba that leadership will make. They shall attempt to circumvent and make a deal east. However, shall bring collapse and then surrender, says the Lord. For I, the Lord, am resetting the clock on nations to align with my word. The earth brings forth pangs in a time of resetting. We are watching this unfold with Cuba. And they just talked about that today. A missile crisis of a new kind shall arise, says the Lord, because Florida is very close to Cuba. And there are concerns now about now what's unfolding with Cuba and the U.S. for how easy Florida is to actually hit. So we are beginning to watch the percolations of that in this time. And I want to show you this quickly. This chart here. Look at this. This is the order it's going in. Venezuela, Iran, Cuba, or China, because Trump was just there too. Turkey, Oman, Russia, Yemen spells victory. So the way this is marching is actually beginning to spell the word victory throughout the earth. Venezuela went first, then Iran, now Cuba. It literally looks like we are going to watch the word victory It could be Tunisia, too, for tea. But victory spelled throughout the earth. It actually looks like this is beginning to form. And this is a possibility right now as we march forth in this. This is definitely the time of the threshing floor for leaders in this time, including New York City. New York City is at the threshing floor. I'm telling you it is. We need to intercede and pray for New York City. And we need to understand that that covenant has been renewed. The church needs to rise to the occasion in this nation, speaking the unadulterated truth of Almighty God, using the word, speaking the word, speaking boldly and unapologetically for Christ in this time, calling for repentance in the nation, calling for a humbling, calling for the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's going to descend on the nation. The fear of the Lord is going to descend on the nation. We as the church need to recognize it. Speak into it. Rise to the occasion. A standard is being raised. We are meant to help carry that standard as the church. We are not meant to play patty cake with the devil. We are not meant to tiptoe around territory. We are not meant to grossly compromise and water down the word and bring forth the cotton candy fluff nonsense that has deluded the church, fractured it, weakened it. We are called to be a unique breed of warrior arising in this time for the church, equipped for the time we are in. We are watching a changing of the guard in the church for a reason, people. Please keep these families in your prayers. The Lamb family, the Robinson family, please keep them in your prayers. Show some mercy. You don't have to like what happened, but show mercy, because there's a changing of the guard in the church. We are watching the plumb line and a measuring rod. And we are meant to be soldiers in the army of the living God. And we are not meant to tiptoe around scripture. We are meant to take it like a bulldozer and speak it that people feel it, that the weight of conviction bulldozes in their lives what doesn't belong. We are not supposed to make conviction watered down and nice and sweet and palatable. No, it is meant to come in like a wrecking ball and destroy what has been keeping you ensnared and in bondage, to wake you up to the fact that you have been living in rebellion. Scripture is transformative, but to transform, the old has to be torn down first. We can't keep tiptoeing with scripture. We can't keep watering it down so the world will like it. We are supposed to be a peculiar people to the world. We are not supposed to manipulate and rearrange scripture to make them like it. That is a lost and dying world out there. And sometimes the darkness has to get darker so the light can become brighter. And we are in a time as the church where we have to be bold, unapologetic, speak the truth of God, not back down from it, not water it down, not two-step around it, not character assess Jesus and repaint him as something he wasn't. He loved people. He didn't tolerate sin. He flipped over tables and temples. He chased people with whips. He openly called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He openly said one of the most politically charged statements that came out of scripture. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. He was saying Caesar is not God. And that's all the Romans knew him as. He loved people, but he was bold in his father's business. He was persistent in persecution. And he ran the race no matter what the terrain was, in obedience and in excellence. And scripture has been watered down to give people a counterfeit idea of what Christianity really is. There are those in Nigeria right now and the Congo being butchered by demonic individuals for their faith, slaughtered. And we can't take a comment on social media. We can't take one criticism. We can't take somebody not agreeing with us. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I have to please an audience of one, and his name is Almighty God. That's who I answer to. We can't take that, oh, you know, these two conservative podcasters are fighting. Oh, what do we do? You know what we do? Stick their butt in the corner, make them sit there and think about how foul their mouths are. Time out. You go sit there for a while and cool off. You and your ego in your mouth over there. We have entered a very serious time now that this covenant is renewed, and I cannot stress this enough. And we just need to understand that, and we need to rise to the occasion as the church. I'm not saying it's easy, but through God, all things are possible. And we are meant to have power and authority from on high through Christ Jesus to run this race in excellence. And this is what we need to do in our lives, commanding our day, commanding our morning, being vigilant about what's going on around us. The clean out has begun. The purge has begun. The Lord is shifting things in your life as well to remove what has been a hindrance and doesn't belong there, in order to bring in those that have an excellent spirit like that of Daniel. This is the plumb line. This is the time. This is the season. And we should walk in the fear and reverence of the Lord. We don't have to be perfect. He doesn't want perfection. He wants your willingness and your obedience to do what he's asking you to do. And if that means preaching to the customer service rep on Spectrum because he's looking for his purpose in life, then so be it. If that's running out into the road to rescue a turtle that's about to get run over, which I did last Sunday, by the way, in my dress, so be it. If that means having mercy and compassion on those that everyone else discounts, so be it. If that means standing up at your school board and speaking with the authority of God, so be it. But whatever it is, be willing to step into it, commit to it, and be faithful in the little things to now unlock in this time the door that you will break the threshold to the greater. So I just wanted to encourage you in that as we're closing tonight, because I'm looking at the time. Praise the Lord. I could keep preaching. I'm telling you, I could. I could keep going right now. Praise the Lord. Just a few things. As we begin to wind down, we're going to put up Brace for Impact. This is Brace for Impact, and praise God I was able to write this book. It is a very prophetic book for the time we're in. It goes all the way up prophetically to 2028. It is available everywhere books are sold, including on Amazon. So if you go to arcofgrace.org, scroll down, you'll see the picture you see on the screen now. You can click on the link, and you can order it on Amazon. It's also on Charisma Media. It is also on Barnes & Noble's and everywhere books are sold. Here it is. This is what it looks like when you get it. So praise the Lord. They did an amazing job on that cover as well. Our social media handles, we're going to put them up for you. Rumble, YouTube, TikTok, Ark of Grace Ministries, Telegram, Ark of Grace News, Truth Social, Ark of Grace Ministries, Facebook, Ark of Grace Ministry with the Y and a blue check mark, Instagram, Ark of Grace 88, X at Amanda Grace underscore AOG. Also, we have our sanctuary handles. So please follow us to see all the happenings on Ark of Grace Sanctuary or Animal Sanctuary, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all Ark of Grace Sanctuary. And in the event section, so arcofgrace.org/events, if you need our address, if you're looking for ways to help, you could just go to arcofgrace.org/events. We have all the information there for you to see, as well as where I'm going to be and where me and Chris will be and I will be speaking. Also, Reawaken America. Looking very forward to this. June 19th to 20th, the remnant rising. Amen. And this time it needs to. And so I will be there. You can go to arcofgrace.org/events to request tickets. You can also text the phone number on the screen. It will be at Sheridan Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Pastor Jackson Longmire's church. We're looking very forward to it. And lastly, we're going to put up Giv-A-Derm first. Giv-A-Derm and me have partnered. These are wonderful spirit-filled women who have a wonderful skincare line that's all natural. And we created the Amanda Collection. So it is a collection of my favorite Giv-A-Derm products. You also get a signed bookmark that I personally signed with the Armor Up prayer on it, as well as a makeup towel, an Ark of Grace sticker, and a TSA-approved travel bag. As you can see, you get the clay cleanser, Mother Plumper, the eye cream, you get Mother Slugger, Uplift, and the lotion. I love them all. I use them all. It's an incredible, incredible package that these women have put together. And you can use promo code ARC10 to save an additional 10% off this package and anything else you buy at Giv-A-Derm. They are having free shipping for their Memorial Day celebration. You order $100 or more, you will get free shipping. It starts May 20th. It goes all the way to the 27th, so it's a good time to stock up on skincare. And these women absolutely love the Lord too, and we're very happy we could be a blessing to them as well. Also, Andrew Sorcini. He has Beverly Hills Precious Metals. We have the Cyrus coin with him, which you can see on the screen is a silver coin. Cyrus, Faithful Shepherd, and on the back, In God We Trust, Saving Grace. He does gold-backed IRAs. If you have questions about gold and silver, if you've never invested and are curious, text Andrew at 310-433-3524. You can email him, andrew@bh-pm.com. Him and his team would be more than happy to sit down with you. They love hearing from our Ark of Grace family. And even if you can't meet the minimum, Andrew has put together packages and these amazing, just him and Clay have put their heads together for our wonderful Ark of Grace family in order to help you if you still would like to purchase gold and silver. So please reach out to Andrew and his team today. Praise the Lord. Okay, I feel like I ran a marathon, guys, and my voice, praise God, held up, but we barely made it there. So it is, we will see if I go live tomorrow night. I'm going to see just how things play out and what the Lord wants me to do. But we will be putting out shorts as well. And we're so glad you're able to join us tonight. Praise God. We are back. And I will say, though, it was nice for a couple of days. I got to just do a few other things. So that was nice as well. But I'm glad to be back with all of you. So is Toby. And so is Esther. I just wanted to tell you quickly, too. Please pray for Toby. We had to take Toby to the vet today. He is fighting not only bronchitis, but the doctor believes he's fighting an enlarged heart right now. And so Toby needs prayer. We have started him on medication for the bronchitis, but there is radiographs that are going out to the radiologist of the heart situation. Radiologist is going to read it, and then we're going to come back and make a plan. I have to tell you, our vet, she is wonderful. She believes in holistic things as well. And so it is just wonderful to just, you know, have a vet that really cares about the animals here. But please pray for Toby right now. He is 10 years old. So we are praying for wisdom. I was praying over Toby today, and we thank you for your prayers ahead of time as well. You can always email us too if you want an update on Toby, if you want to, you know, learn about ways that, you know, you could help Toby. You can email us at hello@arcofgrace-ministries.com, which is our main line. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We love you. We want to encourage you in the word as we close. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have other psalms up there for you to speak and get in the habit of speaking the word, the discipline of being in the word, speaking the word, meditating on the word. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19 from the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin, as well as the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. I encourage you as well to incorporate that into your prayer life. And 2 Chronicles 18, go read about Jehoshaphat and Ahab. It's quite the story and the account for the time we are in. So we hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. We love you, and we will be back on soon. Keep the faith, everyone. God bless.